All right, you are tuned to Geek Speak live with Louis the Computer Guy
and Brendan.
Oh, hold on. There you go.
And Brendan.
Yeah. And
the Asyep. gosh, I how can I line up all of your attributes here? It's like,
right?
The Asyep, digital music creator, all around great guy, mentor to youth. God, where do I stop?
Thank you. No, I appreciate that. That's that's an honor. And this is cool to be here.
It's Ladin Dad Geek Speak.
Yeah.
Man.
I feel like we've attempted to line this up previously and it didn't come together, but it's just because the timing wasn't right. The stars weren't aligned. And
absolutely.
Yeah. Here we
are.
I
don't know if we've ever been on the air together before.
I just
thought about that.
I don't think we have.
Yeah. That's very cool.
So, kind of bizarre.
Yeah. So, our compadre Matt McBrayer is a new daddy, a new daddy.
Hey.
Is it, did you get enough news in there?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so he is the proud father of a third baby girl.
Wow. Matt, congrats, man.
Yeah,
congratulations, dude.
And the way I pitched it to him, I said, would you like to have Brendan fill in for us for him today?
Yep.
And he said, yes, I'm still figuring out the new world order, I believe is what he said, something to that effect. So, and I'm like, good luck with that,
accurate.
Man.
Yeah.
So it's, all right. You want to read the underwriting message?
Yeah. Yeah. Cool. So support for KD&K comes from Louis, the Computer Guy, providing PC and Mac repair, networking support, tutoring, and web design. Secure, informed, and connected, Louis will pick up and deliver your hardware, which might include your computer. More information at 970-948-7992. And of course.
I could pick up hardware like shelf brackets,
right,
and springs, and, deck screws, stuff like that.
Yeah, I don't doubt it.
Just give it to me.
Yeah, you'll find something to do with it.
I got a whole basement full of that stuff. So
it's not the first time I've read your underwriting message when I do my show on Tuesday afternoons. Shameless self promotion here. Heavy Rotation with Jared O.S. every other Tuesday, 2 to 4. And I'll actually have a show tomorrow. But it's always a trip for me to
read. So you rotate with somebody named Jared O?
No. I'm Jared O.S. That's my moniker for the shows.
I was going to go, wow, man. They're just taking over this.
Heavy Rotation, Jared O.S. No, it was a fun... I wanted to play on the fact that our last name... It's funny, I haven't talked to you about this yet. I wanted to play on the fact that our last name... is chronically mispronounced.
Okay.
And so I figure I'll just rock with it and just give them the mispronunciation. And
I thought you'd go Garage Door.
Garage Door. Yeah, I considered it. Yeah.
So,
you know, what's funny is because everybody here knows our last name, even though it's spelled pretty phonetically, I spell it J-E-E-R-A-D-O-E. They know that my last name is Gerardo. And so they're consistently pronouncing it closer to our actual last name, which is not what I would have expected when I decided to go. Mm-hmm. It's just funny, man.
Nice.
So, yep.
Well, I'm going to venture off into like another little subgenre of geekage, and that is like, being a rock shop owner. There's a couple different types of rock. One's called peridot and one's called epidot.
Yeah.
And the common characteristic between those two things is they're both green.
Oh, really?
Okay.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it was when I was down at the rock show in Tucson, I said, so if epidot and peridot are both green, then that means my name's just Gerard Green. Gerard Green.
Yeah, yeah.
So
very fitting for today, the day of green, St. Patrick's Day. So,
you know, I was being very clever one day and I thought, I'm going to register gerard.com.
Oh, nice.
Right?
Yeah.
Somebody's already got it.
Really?
I know.
Oh, that's unbelievable.
Isn't that ridiculous?
Yeah.
You know, but, and of course, so is Gerardo.com.
Mm-hmm.
And strangely enough, a whole group of Gerardos ended up in Colombia.
Oh, really?
Of all places. So it's
that
Gerardo.com is actually registered to somebody in Colombia.
Wow.
You know, so
that's really cool.
Who would have expected it? So,
right.
Well, hey, we got some fun stuff to talk about here because, Brendan grew up with a dad who was a geek.
Yep.
And what do you know? He got kind of geeky out of it.
I mean, I consider myself a bit of a fringe geek.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, no, that's not an inaccurate statement. When things go below a certain level, my eyes do tend to glaze over in most realms.
Yeah.
But
like when you're talking about password complexity for 25 minutes at a stretch.
I have nothing to contribute to that conversation, okay. I don't think. Except that, like, I don't know, keep your passwords complex, because seemingly that seems to be a big issue. And you don't want anyone getting a hold of your information. So.
Matt likes he uses a thing called passwords with entropy.
Okay.
And the problem with the word entropy is that I cannot tell you how many times I've Googled that word.
Yeah.
Because it basically, I guess the definition, it means descending into chaos.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, I just can't even believe that somebody came up with a word for that.
You know?
Because it's, I mean, to have even a complex word like entropy that represents something that's progressing and like declining into chaos. It seems like a very organized word for considering what it's supposed to convey, you know, a very, very complex, organized word.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So anyway, but Matt's whole thing is use three or four words with a capital letter at the beginning, three or four unrelated words.
Mm-hmm.
And with a capital letter at the beginning, maybe throw in a couple digits and a special character at the end if they're clamoring for that.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, but that will build a. I use a website called How Secure Is My Password, and
of course that exists.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and if you know, at a certain point I went, wait, maybe there's somebody on the other side of this who's just like stealing my password, you know, but no, that's not the case. But anyway, so I tested it, and it basically tells you, it gives you an estimate of how long it will take artificial intelligence to crack the password that you just entered. And I actually came up with one that basically was in the quadrillion years.
Man.
Yeah, it was like 2 quadrillion years to crack that password.
That's incredible.
And it was a password with entropy, you know.
Do you think, that might be a whole other revenue stream for you right there.
Yeah.
You know.
Creating passwords with entropy for people?
Yeah, I mean, obviously. Yeah.
They could get a subscription to the server. Now we're talking.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And like 6 times a year, I generate, you know, basically, you know, generate a new password with entropy.
Yeah, because you're going to do a better job than AI and computers, which is kind of what we talked about.
Yes.
Talking about.
You
today.
Got a segue going on here, don't you?
Yeah, no, I'm just.
And not the,
really,
kind, not the kind you ride on, you know.
No, I think it is relevant, though. You know, I let's see. What's the best way to put this? At a certain point, you, with a human brain and your experience, very well possibly could generate more secure passwords than an algorithm.
Okay.
That's something that I believe. I mean, I could be, you know.
Well, I don't know. You know, there's a certain argument to be made that, like, if you're trying to crack a password that was created by an algorithm, who do you call?
Right.
An algorithm.
Yeah, exactly.
So, yep. And there's a lot of algorithms floating around out there looking for work.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep.
Our number is 970-963-2976. The show is called Geek Speak. And if you are having any technical problems with your equipment at home, give us a call. If you want to know, if you got $1,000 burning a hole in your pocket and you want to know what to spend it on, just give us a call. We'll tell you. It's going to be in the form of a donation to KDNK Geek Speak, probably.
Yeah. Yeah. I appreciate that.
So, but, Brendan, came with a very, fun, topic for today's show. And, you know, we've talked about AI on the show a fair amount, I think. But we haven't really talked about it, in the context. We did generate song lyrics.
Right.
And read them on the air one time. The one, what was it? Joy Liquid Dish Soap in the style of the Rolling Stones.
I do remember hearing that. I don't know if I heard it when it was broadcast, but I do remember hearing a bit of that.
Yeah.
Good.
That was some good stuff.
It was some good stuff. Yeah. And, some good AI generated stuff.
I did
stuff.
Another one. I was trying to write a song for my wife. It was called Young Cooks in Love.
Right.
And
in the style of the Decemberists, correct?
In the style, of the Decemberists.
Oh,
but, you know, there were no like dark murders with medieval weapons late at night, so it didn't completely close the Decemberist.
Yeah, yeah,
circle.
Yeah, yeah.
all the
way. You were in a kitchen, not in the belly of a whale. So
exactly.
Yeah, it wasn't as fitting.
Yeah. So
wow, man.
Anyway, well, you let's see. Did you actually create a tune that you were going to play for us?
Yeah,
But give us an intro on it here.
So one conversation that I have often amongst music fans, musicians, producers, creatives of all sorts, is that AI is never going to hit those same notes, if you will, that a human can. There's this element of art that is completely individual and is based on, you know, creative expression of your experience that I personally believe we're just not going to get there with AI. And in addition to that, I think that our discernment as to what's computer generated and what's not for everyone, not just for other creatives and artists, but for everyone, that discernment is going to sharpen really, really quickly. And I think we already see that. Mm-hmm. You know, I'd see a lot of stuff online reposting AI generated art where there's just these really glaringly obvious flaws.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's just an interesting thing to me. And
I mean, like animals with five legs?
Yeah, yeah, 100%. I can't really think of anything right off the top. You know, I don't spend as much time on social media as I once did, thank God. But yeah, I've seen some things where it's just, you know, you either get that uncanny valley effect, which is like, it's kind of hard to describe, but there's like this disturbing emotion of like, well, it looks real and it feels real, but it's not real.
Mm-hmm.
Or it's just comically wrong, you know?
Yeah.
Which is always really entertaining to me.
Yeah. So that does get pretty good.
Yep. Yeah,
I've been madly consuming podcasts lately. I've just like, you know, because network news is not doing it for me anymore. But I've been madly consuming podcasts, and I'm pretty sure it was somebody in the tech industry who was commentating on AI.
Mm-hmm.
And the one thing that he said that, and I'm sorry, I can't attribute this. I'll try to figure out who it was and give the person attribution later on, in another show. But the one observation that he made is he said, AI doesn't have experience.
Right.
You know,
that's exactly
it. And that's what makes us, you know, I mean, there's a Zen Buddhist teacher that basically says all we are is a bag of skin with a collection of experiences.
Yep. Yep.
And
art, you know, is one of the most unique experiences that a human can have, or creating art and sharing art is uniquely human.
Mm-hmm.
We're the only creatures on the planet that create just for the sake of creating.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, you know, the reason a piece of art touches you or really like hits you in a different way than it might hit someone else is because you have personal experiences that artist is sharing that you can relate to.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, like AI robots don't have those experience. I can't relate to an AI robot the same way I can, you know, a human who is really pouring all that they are into whatever they're making with their two hands. So,
Yeah.
I have a quote from Oscar Wilde that I dug up that I thought was really fitting. It says, "Art is the most intense mode of individualism that the world has ever known." And I think that's pretty true.
Yeah.
You know?
Definitely. You know, I spent a certain amount of time pondering just like trying to define art, you know, to come up with my own working definition of art. And, you know, I basically, the definition ended up being very simple. And it's something that makes you feel something.
Yeah.
And
I think that's about as close as you can get. You know, really.
And the reason we feel it is because of our own experiences.
Yep.
You know, that whatever feeling it is that we have is a result of we're drawing on experience. And so that's why I think the instance of you actually getting feelings from AI generated art are going to be less than average, you know.
And, exactly.
You know. Yeah. So, yeah, I think it all has to do with how much how much guidance you actually put into it, you know, because you can, you know, I in preparation for the show, you know, basically pulled up tabs on three different music generation sites.
Yeah.
And they all have a different, you know, you can seed the AI generation of the lyrics, for instance,
right,
with phrases. And you of course, you can start out with a topic.
Yeah.
And so you can kind of guide its hand a little bit, you know, but the more you guide it, the more of a human product, you know, a human derived product,
right,
you're going to end up with.
Well, and that's another thing I wanted to touch on is I'm not against using AI as a tool like any other artistic tool,
mm-hmm.
you know, like in the realm of, you know, my artistic expression is through beat making and primarily through like digital audio software. And so I've used AI plugins to automate in EQ for, you know, a final mix.
Mm-hmm.
Like for instance, I use Ozone and I can grab a snippet of a song that I really like and it'll listen to that snippet and basically apply compression, EQ, like a whole mastering chain
mm-hmm.
to emulate what it heard.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not above that because that aspect, I don't feel like my artistic expression comes through in that aspect of the work.
Mm-hmm.
There are other people where it absolutely does. And if I had access to a mix engineer, anybody listening, who was really like in a, you know, viewed it as a creative art, I would love to, you know, work with someone on that level.
Sure.
However, when I'm in my home studio and I've got this piece of software that can mm-hmm. kind of automate that for me, I'm not above using it. I don't think that there's anything wrong with mm-hmm. that, you know? And really, I don't think there's anything wrong with AI art generation at all. It's not even about right or wrong. It's just, I don't see it replacing human art. I just don't see that in the timeline.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Yep. Well, you know, I guess the argument could be made, you know, like going back to the subject of mastering a piece of music, that, you know, there are only, you know, and granted, there's like literally a million permutations of positions that the knobs could
right.
be in, the
right.
knobs. But the bottom line is AI can tweak the knobs and using a certain algorithm, once
right.
again,
right.
And a set of guidelines as to, you know, what the rules are, you know. We don't want something that's going to, like, you know, shatter the glass in the living room.
Right.
We don't want something that's going to, you know, cause you to lose the top 10% of your high-frequency hearing, you know. But chances are, I mean, whatever AI does with the knobs,
yeah.
A human being on any given day could possibly do exactly the same thing with that.
Absolutely.
Know? And yeah. Which I guess technically you could say, you know, looking at a list of like particularly AI generated uninspired lyrics,
right.
you could say, yeah, well, you know, a human being could come up with that. It's like, but that takes you to a dark judgmental place.
Yes. Yeah. No, I totally hear you. It's yeah. No, it's interesting. And I don't know, my mind goes in a lot of different directions, but I can't, like, the conclusion that I come to is that I think that AI generated art will actually push art, music, writing, all of these mediums, whatever they might be, will actually push them forward
mm-hmm.
because now that human expression element kind of becomes the most important
mm-hmm.
or at least will
yeah.
as we get further, you know, further mm-hmm. into this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, human performance, I think, is destined to become a commodity.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And being a commodity is not a bad thing, you know?
Yeah.
Commodities fetch good prices, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Yep. You know,
while AI, on the other hand, fetches no price mm-hmm. or the side that I'm on here, $19.99 a month. So anyway,
yeah.
But we're getting short on time, so let's listen
yeah.
to what you got there.
Yeah. So tell
us about it.
I'll give you a little bit of background. So I have been geeking out on the 90s hip hop group De La Soul, and they have a song called Stakes Is High that was produced by my favorite beat maker and producer, Jay Dilla. So I'll play for you a little bit of the original here. Okay, so this song was produced by Jay Dilla, and he was known as the human that... He was the artist that humanized the drum machine. Let's put it that way.
Okay.
And so he was taking beats that most producers would put on grid perfectly in time and shifting them so that it sounded like there was a live drummer. And you can hear that the kick is a little bit swung, the snare is early, etc. And then you've got three very talented MCs who are rapping about the state of the music industry, and they're pulling from their personal experience of dealing with crooked execs and bad deals and all sorts of stuff at Tommy Boy Records. So that song is incredible, and I just think unrivaled as far as energy and vibe. And so I, oh man, it looks like my initial prompt for this AI generated tune is not here, but I basically asked Suno.com to generate a 90s hip hop song about the shadows of the music industry in the style of De La Soul, and this is what we got. And let me say right off the bat, this does grab me. I like the production. But it gets really, really laughable at a certain point.
Does it? The lyrics go downhill in a hurry?
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's just, you know, again, there's no personal experience that they're pulling from. So it's lyrics like labels lurking in the tall grass lie, promising gold while they spin their lie. It's just so on the nose. There is no creativity in the rhyme scheme. It just really does not hit the same notes by any means. And granted, you know, this is one site generating one song based off of one prompt. But I think when you compare those two, and also look at, like, I mean, Jay Dilla was using tools. He was humanizing a drum machine. He was pulling bass lines and instrumentation from old records because he didn't have access to studio musicians.
Yeah.
So he was using tools. But the end result is just so much more relatable, human. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
It just sounds good.
Yeah.
So,
well, yeah, I mean, so here's one that I like. I'm still trying to write a song for my wife, you know, here 2 years later. And so on the prompt, this is a site called Murica. And here's what the prompt was: she can dance, because my wife can dance like crazy. She glides like a dream, so light and free, each twirl and sway, a story to see. Her feet touch the ground, then lift the sky, and every move she finds pure joy, no lie. Which, you know, it rhymes and everything, but doesn't really mean anything.
Is there a toggle where you can, like, ask it to generate some internal rhyme schemes? Because, like, or to maybe... Can we age it up so it doesn't sound like it was written by a 9-year-old? I mean,
I don't know, man. It's like, I haven't really played with this site very much, but, you know,
these are hypotheticals.
So, yeah. But my experience has been, and it's obvious you're going to have to come back on next time, and we can drill a little bit deeper down into this, but, I don't know. Have you gone around and browsed a bunch of the different, sites that, the AI music generation sites?
I honestly haven't. Mm-hmm. I've had one other experience. Well, a couple experiences. So your good friend and one of my collaborators, or, you know, a great man who I've collaborated with and a great musician, Mike Murdy, shared with me some of the AI generated music that he was messing around with probably about 7-8 months ago.
Yep.
And it was a very similar experience where there's like elements of it that I find impressive. And at the same time, I hit a point where I'm just like, yeah, man, this sounds like it was generated by a computer. It just, you know, it doesn't really hit the same. And then I had another friend. Yeah. Anyway, I threw some of my music into an AI algorithm that was supposed to kind of like interpret it and extend it. And it honestly didn't know what to do with it. It made practically no changes, which I took as a compliment. Oh, yeah, I beat the AI. Definitely. Yes. So.
Okay. Nice. All right.
Yep.
Well, yeah, we will circle back and revisit. This has been a ton of fun. And
yeah.
I'm really sorry we didn't have more time. But yes, you've wasted another perfectly good 25 minutes of your life listening to Geek Speak, ladies and gentlemen. And hopefully maybe a little less than usual. I don't know. Like, you don't want to be polarized. But anyway.
Yeah.
So, hey, thanks to Brendan Gerardo for engineering the show and coming in with a really great subject. And my name's Louie the Computer Guy. And we will see you all the first Monday of next month, I believe. Right?
Awesome.
Yeah, this is a 3-Monday month.
And, yep. Yep.
Yeah. So, or a 5-Monday month.
Yeah.
But yeah, so we'll see you beginning of April, somewhere like that.
Awesome. So, thank you so much for having me. I'm really glad we made this work. So. Yeah.
For sure.
Right on.
Okay. In the meantime, don't touch your knob.